back to another great edition of Sports Club. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact. You're joining you on this Saturday morning. Yeah, the day gig kind of took over practically the entire day yesterday. I finally got home last night around about 10:50, somewhere in there. A lot longer day than usual. I was going to do the show yesterday, but it just didn't pan out, but that happens. Now, tons we want to get into. We all know about that. There are a lot of stuff we are going to talk about today. So for anybody who ends up watching this show or listening to this show after tomorrow's games, all right, we'll see how I did. How did I do? For anybody who listened to them before them, hopefully you get, you know, if you're using what I tell you as a basis for how you want to pick you. Or maybe you can just tell me I'm full of crap. Because, you know, occasionally that happens too. And that particular sound means it's time to get into the show. We are going to talk about a lot of other stuff, or some other things other than football as well, but I want to start by reviewing those games from last week. Gosh, were those games really good? Let's start with the Minnesota-San Francisco game. Now, I had told you I thought Minnesota was going to win. I had a feeling on that one. It wasn't a strong feeling, but I had a feeling. I was wrong. I will admit, I was wrong on that one. The 49ers only allowed 147 total yards from Minnesota. That is the fewest in a Super Bowl playoff era. It was Minnesota's defense. I think Minnesota's defense may have been dinged up from the week before. I'm not giving them excuses because I think this played out about how many thought it would. You know, Kirk Cousins played, he played as well as he could have. You got to think, though, all year, and this is something that another quarterback I'll talk about later could run into, all year long, they haven't asked Kirk Cousins to do a whole lot. Just make a few plays here and there and not turn the ball over. Well, in this one, they were like, please put the cape on and be Superman. And he hadn't really done it all year, not saying that he wasn't capable of it. It was just, it was hard for him to get in a groove because that front four for San Francisco, I'm going to try to remember all of them. Joey Bosa, DeForest Buckner, D. Ford, gosh, I forgot the other guy. But they have a four-man pass rush that is as good as most man's seven, as most other teams' seven. It is just incredible. And when they can get that kind of pressure with four, then the other seven can very much do what they want to do, which is what happened here. Minnesota-wise, like I said, their defense, they were playing as hard as they could. They did look a little tired, especially when San Francisco just continued to pound the ball, just run at you nonstop that are all, you know, B-plus or above. And they basically took things like Baltimore have been doing all year and that they've been doing all year. And Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have to make that many plays. So 27-10, San Francisco over Minnesota. They will advance to the NFC Championship this weekend. We will get into who they, let's go ahead and get into who they face right now. Seattle 23, Green Bay 28. Green Bay has this strategy they like to do where they get up a lot of points and then just try to hold on. Kind of like climbing to the highest part of the cliff and hoping the wave doesn't knock you off. In this case, it did not. I don't know how that strategy is going to work against the 49ers. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, On the offensive side of the ball for Seattle, Russell Wilson was the Hall of Famer that, I'm saying it now, the Hall of Famer that he will be. He was doing everything he could. He was trying to get Metcalf going, and the blanket coverage there was just crazy wicked good. This might be the best defensive performance of Green Bay for the year. And I know you could say, well, they gave up 23 points, but I will also say DK Metcalf did not go off this week. Tyler Lockett did not go off this week. Any of the running backs, whether it was Homer, whether it was Turbin, whether it was Marshawn Lynch, none of them went off for big yards, big games. This defense, they just let them keep chipping away and chipping away, but they knew, it's like they knew they couldn't catch them. And Aaron Rodgers did, well, before I get into Aaron Rodgers, on the defense side of the ball for Seattle, Jadeveon Clowney, hernia, he's playing with a guy. At one point, he got kicked in the nuts, and he only missed a play, like a play or two, and came back. The dude is, he's a Hall of Famer. I'm saying it now. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's going to get paid in the offseason. He put on a one-man show. Now the other 10, I will give them credit. They were doing their part to free him up so that he could be as disruptive as he was. But he is going to be a monster. Falcons fans, don't even think about it, because he doesn't fit the Falcons mold, so I don't see them making a play. Although, Cowboys, I don't know that you necessarily need him, because he's going to command $15-16 million a year. But he's going to go to a contender. He's going to go to somebody. And I'm not real sure who he's going to go to, but he's going to go to a contender. If I was him, I would stay in Seattle if they'll pay him. You have a good gig going there. I hope they only need a couple other pieces around you, and that defense is ready to go again. Different style than before. But on the Green Bay side, like I said, this defense had a just incredible day. They end up helping pick up the victory. You had Aaron Rodgers. Because, let's face it, on Green Bay, there's Aaron Rodgers, there's Aaron Jones, and there's Devontae Adams. And that's pretty much that team. It's pretty much that team. There are, outside of Geronimo Allison, if you can name another one of the receivers, go for it. That's where I think they're going to, in the offseason, they're either going to go after a free agent, and or they're going to draft another high-profile guy to throw on the other side, and then look out. This was by far the closest game of the day. I don't know that it was the best game of the day. I would venture to get into the last one I'm going to talk about here in a minute. But Green Bay moves on. So we get a at San Francisco here in a minute. Let's go ahead and review. Tennessee 28, Baltimore 10. Tennessee showed everybody Baltimore can get beat. They absolutely got beat. They kept Lamar Jackson from being able to do anything. Mark Ingram with his dinged up calf never got started. And the Baltimore defense at some point did not want to get anywhere. That Tennessee running back. You could see him. I'm not going to say avoiding tackles, but they were trying to catch him on the side. Just you can't win playoff games that way. So 28-10 on that one. It was just a good defensive, run heavy, limit mistakes, keep the Baltimore offense off the field. That's 100% of what they did. Just 100% of what they did. For Baltimore, there's some things you can look at in the offseason. I don't see a lot of big changes. Their team's going to be right there next year again. I think just like they did in the last offseason, they'll make a few tweaks to the way they run some stuff. And I think they're going to be fine. If you're Tennessee, you move on. And you're going to go to the winner of the next game. Next game, Kansas City 51. Yeah, that's right. Kansas City. They were down 23 or 21 to nothing at one point. Houston was doing a good job, and then Bill O'Brien does the most Bill O'Brien thing he can. He starts trying to get cute. Says it's all about points is why he went for the... It's why he went for the fake punt that playbook. That's why, but if it's all about points, then why do you kick the field goal on 4th and 1 on like your own 30 or so? I forgot what yard marker actually was, but if it's all about points, I just, and then at some point he said that it wasn't about, or that he really didn't have a play ready for that 4th down. You're that for those back pocket plays. That's the difference. So, Bill O'Brien, enjoy another offseason where you can sit on your couch and watch the last couple games. For all the people in Houston that want to... run him out of town and things like that, I would say... No, he's still a good coach. Maybe he needs to watch Tennessee a little more to his good buddy Mike Vrabel. There's just that they've got to tweak in Houston. They desperately miss Clowney. They could use another running back. Might be the time to get one, although you're going to be pretty low in the draft. But Houston... You enjoy another offseason. All I can say there. Kansas City down 21-24, whatever it was. Total points. Be blanked by the Texans at one point. And then when the Texans started making mistakes, Kansas City started playing like Kansas City. And if you let them, if you give them the opportunity, Pat Mahomes and crew can put up a 50-burger on you. And they put up a 50-burger plus a pickle. It just said that they easily won the boat race. Just easily won. Like, it wasn't even... At some point... By the time they'd scored the second time, I knew it was over for Houston. They were not going to get back in it. Not at all. They weren't built for it. Kansas City shows you they can score quickly. I think at one point they scored like 21 points in about 4 minutes. It's crazy. But that sets up Tennessee at Kansas City. Let's go ahead and preview that. Tennessee at Kansas City is the 3:05 game on CBS. Kansas City is a 7-point favorite. I think that is disrespectful. But they don't ask me. This game is going to come down to a couple things. If you're the Tennessee Titans, can you get... Derrick Henry started early and really pound the ball and really make them second guess whether they want to tackle him or not, because if he can get up over 150, I think that's a good recipe on offense. If need be, Ryan Tannehill, you ask him to make a couple plays, I think he's got those plays in him. If you're their defense, you have to, first of all, in running the ball and controlling the clock, you're going to keep the Kansas City offense off the field as much as possible. When they are on the field, I think Mahomes is not much of a scrambler. He does when he needs to, but here's what I think you do. You do a 3 or 4 man rush. You drop everybody else into a man zone, or a zone man, as you want to call it. Man-to-man on a couple spots, but kind of blanket and bracket people over the top. Keep everything in front of you. Definitely on 3rd downs, look for Travis Kelce, because that is Mahomes' favorite one. And just make Mahomes have to force throws. And, yeah, he's going to make some of these, because you got it, Brett Favre the same way. He's going to make some of those, but you make him force him to throw into coverages he doesn't want to. Make him make decisions that are not on par with what he wants to do. And if you're Kansas City, defensively, you've got to stop Derrick Henry. At some point, you're not going to want to step in front of him. So you got to find ways to tackle him. You can try to go up high, you're going to look foolish. You can try to go down low, he might power through you. You just got to, one guy's got to at least slow him down. The other guy's got to be able to help make the tackle. You're going to have to take probably two or three people to make this work. On offense, you just, if you're Patrick Mahomes, you got to be able to spread the ball out, get it out of your hand quickly, make good decisions, play Patrick Mahomes' ball. It sounds simple. For the most part, it is. Knowing that this Tennessee, you know, if they do what I say and try to keep everybody covered, Mahomes might have to make some plays with his legs to open up a couple lanes. Might Andy Reid might have a couple weird play calls. Not Bill O'Brien cute, but Andy Reid cute. Maybe have to do a few things there. I think this is actually going to be the better game of the day. And I will give my picks at the very end of the show. Green Bay at San Francisco. The 6:40 game on Fox. Think about it. CBS. So Tennessee at Kansas City. We're going to get Romo and Nance. Green Bay at San Francisco on Fox. We're going to get Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. San Francisco is a 7.5-point favorite. Once again, that is disrespectful. If you're Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, got to be on point. Got to play not out of their minds, but got to play their solid game. They're going to have help from the other people, too. That offensive line is very, very important for all kinds of reasons. You want to keep Aaron upright, and you want to keep Aaron Jones in open lanes. If you're the Green Bay defense, you got to stop the run attack. It is completely crazy to know that if you look at just the final eight, how many teams are more run-centric than they are pass-centric? San Francisco, Minnesota, Tennessee, Baltimore, Green Bay, Seattle. Six of the eight. And the other ones were Kansas City and Green Bay, which is a little more balanced. But if you're Green Bay, you have to stifle that run attack. There's all kinds of ways you could go about it. The way that I would try to do it is to just clog the lanes, make them hit the outside, and by then, the corners and linebackers can get to them. That's what I think. You can get them right at the end of the line. Because if you stifle that and make Garoppolo start having to make plays early, that could be detrimental to San Francisco. If you are the San Francisco offense, well, it all centers around that run game. That run game can mean the game at times. If you can really get that going early, really make Green Bay play on their heels, then it actually opens up the pass game where Garoppolo, if you ask him just to make a couple plays, and that's all he may have to do. On defense, they got probably the best frontline rush of everything of anybody. I said that earlier. The four-man rush that they will throw at you is all world. If they can get through that offensive line for Green Bay, then that's going to make Aaron and Adams, I guess A cubed. It's going to make them make different choices. Have to play a different style game than maybe they want to. So, not to mention that they have corners and covers that are actually quite good too. Richard Sherman and everybody. Like I said, that I will pick my winners of these games. I've had it picked since Tuesday. I've told a couple people in person, gave him my case on it. Because I just have some strong feelings about a couple things. And we'll get to them here in a minute. Let's go through some football headlines. Mostly it's hires, stuff like that. But let's go through some of the football news, then we'll go non-football news. We'll finish up with my picks. The Rams have hired Brandon Staley as the defensive coordinator, you know, previously Wade Phillips. He was the Denver offensive linebacker coach previously. The Rams also hired Kevin O'Connell as the OC. He was the Washington OC at one point. I think that's okay. Maybe this is McVay wanting to be more of a head coach and not a head coach offensive coordinator combined, because it does take up a lot of his time and eat into each other. There is no fine for Jadeveon Clowney, but they did give a fine for his hit, you know, on Carson Wentz. But there was a fine to Cody Ford for the blindside block in overtime. That was going to cost him $28,075. The Lions have hired Braden Combs as the special teams coordinator. He spent the last 10 seasons with Cincinnati. And Thielen apparently had a big-time ankle and heel injury, but was able to play in the game. I think he actually had stitches. He had like a cut or something on his ankle. It was something like that. Let's get into some non-football news. You know, we had the unfortunate news of Dwayne The Rock Johnson's dad, Rocky Johnson, who passed at 75 just the other day. He's a real legend, not because he's The Rock's dad, but he is a real legend. Did so much for people just in and out of the ring. Definitely going to be missed, and thoughts, prayers, and condolences to the Johnson family. And we're going to keep it kind of somber for the next two, and then I promise you we're going to go upbeat, and then we're going to give picks. The Astros cheating scandal. I guess if you're going to go big, right? So, because of the beating on the trash can, a lot of you guys already know about it by now. This is what they were docked. They were docked a first and second round pick in the next 2 years of the draft. They were fined $5 million as a franchise. General manager Jeff Lunau and manager A.J. Hinch were suspended 1 year by Major League Baseball, which means they can't coach or manage or anything else at all for the next calendar year. They were actually fired by owner Jim Crane not more than about an hour after all that broke, which is the right move. Some other blowback as well. Alex Cora was fired by Boston. I don't care what they say that it was a mutual parting. No, it was not. No. They can say mutual so that he can walk with his head held high and maybe coach somewhere else down the road. He's a good manager, but no. Alex Cora, thanks for the memories. Carlos Beltran with the Mets was also told thanks for the memories. You know, all 10 days of them. As the Mets pretty much canned him, too. You can say all you want about a mutual parting of it. No, and I like Beltran. But because he was a player involved in this, and because I guess he might have talked with him and said what he may or may not have going on, may not have known about it during that Astros scandal, he stepped away and they fired him. That puts the Mets in Boston kind of behind the game, because season's going to be starting soon. You're going to need managers, But at the same time, you have to wash clear of this, because if they were to keep these guys in place, and then you find out a further involvement by either one of them in it, or any involvement in it, then that's going to blow back. You could lose your manager in the middle of the year. So it's good to go on a free and clear, wash your hands of it, completely stay away from it as much as possible. And that just the Astros are the only team doing something possibly nefarious? Not at all. Not at all. I think they're just they're the latest to get caught for doing something like this. So, kids, if you want to learn something from the adults, try to play things as straight as you can. I'm not going to lie. There are times in life when you can't do that. You can't. It's just hard to stay on the play it as straight as possible. But 99% of the time, just play things straight. Just do it the right way. In the last somber news before we, well, kind of somber but kind of happy. I'm excited for the guy. Luke Kuechly unexpectedly retired the other day at age 28. And a lot of people were like, oh, it doesn't matter what it's for. I think it's the head injuries. He's had some pretty bad concussions over the years. And I think he followed the lead of Andrew Luck and said, I don't have to keep playing. There's other things I can do. So he decided to hang him up. I think also the fact that Ron Rivera, the only head coach he's ever played for in the pro level, is gone. I think that very much had something to do with it too. But he realized that he's not handcuffed to having to do something. He could make his own choice. So he did. So congratulations to Luke Kuechly on a potential Hall of Fame career, if that's even important to you. It might not be. And to you and all your future endeavors. And then the last non-football thing I want to get into before I give my picks and we get on our merry way here on this Saturday morning. UFC 2... 46. Sure, there's some other fights on there. There's some bigger fights on there, but I'm going to talk about the main event. I'm going to try to talk about it objectively, but I am a huge fan of one guy and, you know, kind of like the other guy too. You got the 21-4-0 Conor McGregor going up against the 36-13-0 Cowboy Donald Cerrone. Cerrone, I'm not sure exactly how to say it. I've always liked Cowboy. Cowboy's a solid fighter. He's got more than a puncher's chance to do this. Definitely has more of a puncher's chance. You know, he has 36 victories and he only has 13 losses. That's like a 3-1, pretty much. That's like a 3-1 there. There's a reason why he's been around as he has, because he's not that old, but there's a reason why he's been around it as long as he has. And I know he's going to come rare and ready to go. On the other side, one of my favorites, notorious Conor McGregor, who also makes a pretty mean Irish whiskey. If you haven't tried it, you should. It's as long as you are of a 21 or older, drink responsibly, of course. But 21-4-0, Conor's had his losses. He's had his bigger wins. And it's not even one of those, oh, if he wins, it'll be bigger for the sport than if he loses. No. The fact that Conor's back fighting in the UFC, I don't think he's going to fight very much longer, honestly. He's starting to get into some things. He's going to get into Hollywood and acting. I think he's into, you know, he's had his own whiskey brand going. That is his brand. Now, he doesn't just endorse them. That is his whiskey brand that he talks about. And I just feel like he realizes what his brand is, but he has always been a fighter, and fighting is what got him where he is. Oh, for those of you that are asking, it is called Proper 12 Irish Whiskey. It's got the tattoo he has on his arm of the lion. It is on the, or the, is it a lion? I think it's a lion. Yeah, the lion with the crown is on the bottle. This is gonna be a good fight. It's I think it's I don't think it's for a belt. So the three rounds, it could go into the third round. I really think it will. I don't think this was an easy opponent in Cowboy that they threw in front of Connor. No, because I very much think Dana White knows you don't do that with Connor. You put solid fighters in there against Connor McGregor. But I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm Team Connor all the way, whether he wins or whether he loses. So, sorry to Cowboy Cerrone. I'm going with Notorious in that one. Now, there's one prediction for today. Here's my predictions for tomorrow. Green Bay at San Francisco. For a couple simple facts. One, Aaron Rodgers realizes this may be one of his best chances to get a second championship. Think about what a second Super Bowl does for Aaron Rodgers. It practically cements him top four, top five all time. Because he's going to have the statistics. He's got a lot of them now. He already has the mechanics. He's already viewed as one of the best ever. But two championships put him in a higher grade. You got to think about it that way. I have the greatest feeling that that's going to happen. I'm going to say Green Bay over San Francisco. It is going to be very, very tight. Very, very good. We're talking 31-27, somewhere along that route. Green Bay is going to force Jimmy Garoppolo to beat them. And he's going to end up throwing a untimely interception that's going to pretty much ice the game. So I'm taking Green Bay. And who do I have facing Green Bay? Well, the fact that I took Green Bay should tell you. I'm taking the Tennessee Titans. It's ride or die, at least until the Super Bowl. I've been riding with them since the preseason. I say that each and every week. Maybe you guys are starting to believe me. Tennessee, they're going to get their workhorse, Derrick Henry, running early. He's going to run for over 180 yards and a couple touchdowns. I actually think Ryan Tannehill is going to have to make a couple plays, and I think he's going to make those plays. And this defense, the defense is going to make a good play on the Kansas City offense and keep Mahomes grounded and cover. Like I told you, I think they will. I think they'll drop into coverage to keep everything in front of them. But the real key here is going to be keeping that Kansas City offense off the field. Tennessee did it to Baltimore. They've done it to Kansas City before. They're going to do it again. That's how you beat people like Baltimore and Kansas City and even Seattle. You keep the MVP off the field as long as you can. If they control the clock, they run the game, and they really beat up this Kansas City defense, I think Tennessee's going to absolutely win this game. So that's going to set up my potential Super Bowl of Tennessee at Green Bay. Oh boy, that's going to be fun. Even if I'm wrong, it could be Tennessee at Green Bay. It could be Tennessee at San Francisco. It could be Kansas City at Green Bay. Or it could be Tennessee versus Green Bay. Tennessee versus San Francisco. It could be Kansas City versus San Francisco. It could be Kansas City versus Green Bay. I don't care. These are four teams that I enjoy watching and can happily cheer for. So whatever matchup we get, I'm going to be excited. We will preview a little bit of it next week. We'll split it up because we'll have a two-week break there. We'll talk a lot more stuff next week, a lot of probably non-football stuff. But that's going to do it for us on a special edition Saturday morning of Sports Club entitled Notorious. Remember, take Connor tonight, take Tennessee and Green Bay tomorrow, and we will see you guys next week. Let's go Notorious. Wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble baby, wobble baby.